Yesterday, Ambassador Sarukhan said the border is the safest, the most secure it's ever been. Is that really true with the amount of agents that are patrolling the border now, north and south, but obviously we're concerned about the southern border? Is it the safest it's been since its inception, the inception of ICBP, DHS?
From the perspective of looking in the United States, yes. Okay. It's obviously not as safe and secure from the perspective going looking south into Mexico, where the struggle with organized crime and the consequences of the civil war among the cartels and between the government and the cartels have created a violent situation. But north of the border, measured by the resources that are in place, measured by FBI crime statistics from Texas through California, there's no question that the border is better resourced and from that perspective more secure, and the communities along the border are safe. Having said that, is not to deny that we continue to have in certain places in the border real vulnerabilities with regard to both illegal migration and with regard to the flow of drugs north and the flow of guns and cash south. That's why we continue to strengthen the border security. That's why the supplemental bill signed into law by the president today was so important, because it recognizes that this is not a snapshot. It's not a single result. It's a process of securing the border over time that will continue to provide the safety and security in which a vibrant economy and cultural life can develop on both sides of the border. So, yes, I think the two are completely consistent. The need for the supplemental bill, together with the fact that the border is safer and more secure than it's ever been. Again, it does not mean that we don't have incidents of violence. We do. And those incidents of violence are sometimes, not always, caused by organized criminal activities based in Mexico.
With the amount of agents and with the money that's been dedicated to border security, why do you think it's still falling on deaf ears with lawmakers within this very state? It's just several hundred miles away from the border in Austin or in Houston, going on national television saying that the border is almost like a sieve where it's just coming back and forth. Why do you think that it's falling on deaf ears?
What happens is, you know, people, if you look at the trends over time, you can see the fact of the progress that's been made. So if you look at where the border was 15 years ago and you look at it today in terms of resources and crime, FBI crime statistics, you see a trend of improvement. But it is a work in process, so that when you continue to see, for example, even though the flows of illegal migration in Arizona are down to 40% of what they were 5 years ago, it's still at the rate of 170,000 people in a way, fiscal year to date, moving toward 200,000 people being arrested there, and the volume of drugs being seized at the ports of entry or between the ports of entry suggests that it is continues to be a problem. But you have to compare that sector, that corridor, with what's happened here, for example, in El Paso, where the number of migrants who were arrested trying to cross illegally into the country is a fraction of what it was, from 260,000 in 1992 to just about 14,000 year to date last year in fiscal year 2009. The seizures of drugs are way down in El Paso. So you have to analyze this on a corridor-by-corridor basis. It is no accident, and was to be expected, that the Arizona law actually occurred in Arizona and not in Texas, New Mexico, or California. And that you've noticed that neither Governor Perry, nor Governor Richardson, nor Governor Schwarzenegger called for the enactment of a similar law. What that suggests to me is that there's a lot of work to be done all along the border, but particularly in Arizona.
You mentioned Governor Perry. He, as you all know, has been one of the most outspoken critics about what he deems as federal inaction to secure the border. Have you reached out to him? Do you plan to reach out to him? And if you do, what do you plan to tell him as far as his criticism?
The Secretary Napolitano has met with Governor Perry. They've discussed the matter. They have a point of view that's very similar in terms of the need to secure the border. But, you know, this has been a bipartisan effort now for many years. And the criticism is one that is just part of the landscape. No one should look at the border as a finished product. And as long as we have continued needs to strengthen it, people will either look at it as half the glass is half empty or half full. That's part of the nature of politics.
The on the other side, there were some human rights, you know, watchdog groups that say it's too much. You know, people people feel like it's there's almost a military presence, which there's soon to be with the National Guard, with beefed up enforcement. That it's just too much, and it might infringe on people's civil rights and just their everyday life. What would you say to those people?
The respect for civil rights and human rights is a staple of professional law enforcement. And I think as we've grown, we've actually seen an increased professionalism among Border Patrol agents and CBPOs as the years have gone on. So the need to always protect civil rights and be cognizant of it, that's built into the DNA of CBP. You know, problems that we have in that respect are not pushed under the table. They're dealt with forthrightly, according to a professional investigation. But the professionalism of our Border Patrol agents and our CBPOs, I know because I took 10 years away. I was very much involved with them in the 90s and then come back now to see a Border Patrol and a field operation that is consummately professional. But we have to constantly underline the need for it. As far as militarization, I don't believe that the deployment by the President of the National Guard militarizes the border. The National Guard has had a role on the border for 20 years or more. And for that reason, even when the President announced the deployment, Mexico understood that it was a further step in the strengthening of border security that had beneficial impact on our common struggle and shared responsibility to take on organized crime. So I understand why people want civil rights to be kept at the forefront. I share that view, but I don't share the view that says that civil rights are threatened or that the border is in danger of being militarized. Not consistent with the facts as I know them.
For the current fiscal year, data from the Department of Justice says that not only are cases referred for prosecution, but as are removals of non-criminal aliens and criminal aliens as well. Where does the credit go for that? Are these Bush-era policies that President Obama just kept in place? Has President Obama made a concerted effort to increase removals?
President Obama's has made a very important distinction in the policies from the past. He understands, and I think the American people want, as a prerequisite to any change in the status of people, to deal with the criminal aliens that are in this country. It is one thing to have people cross into the country illegally, not acceptable. It's another thing to have people cross into the country and commit crimes and constitute a clear and present danger to community safety. Those people need to be focused on as the first who need to be identified, apprehended, and either imprisoned or deported. So the president is determined to see that the illegal, the problem of illegal people residing illegal in the United States is dealt with. But unlike in the past, he's recognizing that as many resources as we devote to it, you still have to prioritize. I mean, you cannot pretend with 8 million people illegally in the country, that we should go through, that we have the capacity to go through a mass deportation, as opposed to focusing on those people who constitute a threat to the safety of our communities. That's going to be a critical distinction in what happened in the past. I think it's an important one, because we can pretend that it can all be done now and at once in terms of waving a wand and having all people who are here illegally out of the country. Simply not the case. The fact that we have that many people illegally residing in the country, estimates as high as 12 million, 8 million of whom are Mexican, is a bipartisan, a reflection of a bipartisan failure to grapple with the border and with the problems of immigration law for many years now. So the answer is not to think that we wave wands, but to get down to the hard business of removing dangerous criminal aliens from the country, and focusing our efforts on that as we work to strengthen the border, to see that we don't have a influx of additional people illegally into the country.
What do you believe those millions of people are here to do? The majority of them, are they here to make an honest living and send some money back, or are they here?
Absolutely. I don't think anyone disputes the fact that the large majority of people who are here illegally have come to work, and they've been drawn by the magnet of jobs in the United States. The story of the United States is the story of immigrants, people taking risks and coming to the United States to improve the lives for their families. That's true here. What's unacceptable is that they come in a illegitimate labor market, and that they cross in a way that violates our laws and remain here in a manner that violates the laws. But I don't think anyone disputing the motive for the very large majority coming, which again, by the way, is a reason why we need to concentrate on that relatively small number, but still a considerable number, who commit crimes and who are people we need to identify, arrest, prosecute, imprison, and then deport.
Switching to trade.
This could just be the last question.
Sure, certainly. Trade, I think the Port of Laredo and the Port of El Paso are ranked 6th and 15th respectively as far as just year-to-date, the amount, the billions that travel through those ports. This, and they might set a record for this year as far as trade numbers, mm-hmm. compared to, mm-hmm. say, within the last 10 years. This hasn't been disrupted by cartel activity. What do you credit that to?
The vibrance and the vitality of the economic relationship between Mexico and the United States. I mean, ever since the enactment of the Free Trade Treaty, or NAFTA, you've seen an explosion of trade between the United States and Mexico up to the level of just under $1 billion a day. That is the lifeblood of economic prosperity. Everyday life does not stop because of the activities of organized crime. So I'm not surprised that we continue to see the growth, and as the economy rebounds, we'll continue to see the growth in that trade. Our job is to make sure that we lower the transaction costs and make it safe and secure, so that in fact we get the benefits of a secure border, and also a border that works from the standpoint of economic prosperity. But you know, life goes on, and life on the U.S.-Mexico border means exchange and commerce.
Very well.